Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm very excited about our guest today. I've had the pleasure of working with her in the past. I have Wendy Collier with us, and she coaches ambitious, purpose-driven women, entrepreneurs, coaches, artists, teachers, healers, light workers, and conscious leaders of all kinds to live free from the inside out through plugging into their soul fuel and learning the skills required to be a wild success at growing their business. Wendy is the founder and creator of Soulful and is the host of the 5-Star Soul Fuel podcast. She leads private and group business coaching programs, including the Client Attraction Academy, which is known to create such success. Her most determined clients never need to get back to a job ever again. She is known for helping women identify their unique skills and purpose while teaching them exactly how to thrive financially through what they are meant to do. It is my pleasure to welcome Wendy to our show today.
Thank you, Belinda. I'm so happy to be here. I've loved working with you before, and I know we'll have a great time today.
We will. So let's just fill in a little bit of those gaps of that bio and tell us a little bit about the journey, because people see people what they're doing today and they never realized what did it take to get there? Or what led you to this, doing what you do today? And then just make sure that people understand exactly what your biggest thing that you're providing as far as service to others.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, I'm not sure how far to go back, but I'm going to go back a little bit further than just my career and talk a little bit about my life, my upbringing, and kind of what led me, how that led me to my Soul Fuel, which is now my business. And that is to say that, you know, I didn't have a typical childhood. There was a lot of upheaval, a lot of instability, some crazy things that happened. And because of that, I felt really odd, like unusual, like I wasn't a typical kid, you know, and I felt like I was on the outside of, you know, everyone else. I just never felt like I fit in. And I also was just very confused as to why these events kept happening. At the time, I thought to me, right? These things were happening to me. I mean, at 13 years old, I was actually kidnapped. And that's a whole nother conversation. So there were big things that were happening. And I knew that because I was sort of trusted with these experiences and these events, that I probably had a bigger calling on my life. And the fact that I could not only recover from those experiences, but get onto the other side and actually thrive, made me feel like, okay, there's something I'm here to do on planet Earth that's different than most, which is also why I don't feel like I fit in. I really feel like I have a mission on this planet. I just need to figure out what it is, because all of those things didn't happen for no reason. I'm going to take what was meant for evil and make it good. I'm going to take all of this fuel and all of the tragedy and make it something beautiful. So I ended up going to college, getting my degree in psychology and communications. My goal was to become a therapist and help adults who were abused as children and help these adults get over the wounds and heal and all of that. But what happened is I was on my own at 16, completely independent from my parents, financially and otherwise. And I needed to figure out how to graduate from high school and, of course, college on my own, paying my way the whole way through. So I did accrue some student debt. So by the time I graduated from college, I had all this debt and I was going to go on and get my actually a certification to become a therapist. But instead, I got scooped up by one of the biggest companies in the world in the Silicon Valley and was recruited by them, brought into the company, into a marketing organization. And I just immediately thought, gosh, this is an answer to prayer. I can pay off my student loans and then I'll eventually have the company subsidize my master's degree and become a therapist and do that later. Well, as it turned out, I just kept going and climbing the ladder and going up the ranks and getting promoted and getting awards in the Silicon Valley during the whole internet boom. And there was a lot of, you know, positive aspects to that. I grew up professionally in a really important time in the world around technology. And I learned some really important professional skills, sales skills, marketing skills, messaging. I became kind of specialized around messaging and just learned how to be a pro, right, at your career. It's a good thing to do. But I still felt that nagging feeling like I'm meant for something more. And as time went on, I mean, we're talking about like a 21-year career mm-hmm. in the high-tech corporate world. I was just getting more and more restless and more frustrated that I didn't know what I was meant to do. And I decided I wasn't going to be a therapist. There was something else out there for me. And like for most of us, there were a couple wake-up calls. Most of us have had those. One of those was a car accident on the way to work where I did incur a concussion. And that was a wake-up call. Another one was 9/11, right? You probably remember mm-hmm. where you were, Belinda, right? Like crystal clear.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right? Like, I mean, it woke so many people up. And I happened to be at the time working for one of the best companies in the world. And we were in towers, you know, the day 9/11 happened. And we were on the path of an airport. It was all just too close, right? It just felt like, oh, my gosh, we could be a target. And, you know, all kinds of thoughts came to mind around if I died today, would I have any regrets? And of course, one of the biggest regrets was not finding my calling, not finding my soul fuel, knowing what I was really meant to do. And so that began the quest for me to figure that out. I learned about coaching and I was like, this is it. You know, therapy focuses mm-hmm. on the past, which is fine. There's a place for that. Coaching is more focused on where are you today and where do you want to go? Where do you want to be and filling that gap? And I was so excited to learn about coaching. I took a 2-month leave of absence from the company I was working for, went on the beaches of Hawaii with a friend and just like searched my soul and figured out this is what I'm meant to do. And that began the journey of figuring that out and finally landing on that being my profession, but I didn't know what I would coach on. So I needed to go on a mission to figure out what that would be. What's my niche? What's my specialty? Who am I helping? Mm-hmm. What am I helping them with? And there was nothing out there that was helping me get clarity on that. I was reading all the books, going to the workshops, doing all the things, getting more confused. So I created my own process called Soulfield Discovery. I helped my friends with it. Then I helped myself with it, discovered what that was, which is ultimately to facilitate the awakening, healing, and empowerment of women.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have the marketing and business skills from high tech, I'm applying those skills to help women to be empowered and to grow their calling in the world, to know what that is and to help them grow it through the business and marketing principles.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Does that answer?
That's a big answer. Absolutely.
Longest answer ever to that question, probably for you.
Do you want to know what? No. It's all good. It's all good. So, gosh, there was so much stuff in there. I'm like, what do I pull apart? Nothing. I'm just going to move on.
Feel free, whatever you need to do. Happy to answer.
All right. So, let's talk a little bit about how this has shaped your lifestyle today. So, huge wake-up call, and I understand that. Like, a lot of us hit that wall in our lives, and sometimes it's an event or, you know, COVID has certainly done that for a lot of people. That'll be another one that will always go down. Like, what did you do with yourself that year, right?
Mm-hmm, 100%.
and people will always remember that kind of too, I think. But how has this shaped your lifestyle today? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think lifestyle, it's interesting with lifestyle because I think all of us want and we have this vision of a certain lifestyle that we want to live, but we may not necessarily know how to achieve it, how to get there. And for me, when I was in the corporate life, that was a great opportunity to see what I didn't want. You know, the contrast helped me define and clarify what I wanted. And so having to be at a physical location at the same time every day or be ostracized for not being there at the same time every day, mm-hmm. being fixed in one location, like you can't leave the building basically except maybe for lunch, you know, all that stuff
absolutely
created an even greater thirst year after year for me to have total freedom and flexibility with my schedule and my location. being able to work from anywhere in the world, being able to travel. I love, love, love traveling and learning about cultures and being able to do that. But there was also another piece that for me does fall under lifestyle, which is creative expression. Like I felt like I was stifled in my job. I had a job description that said, you need to do these things. And whenever I tried to step out of my job description, my hand was slapped. Or if I had ideas that they didn't want to implement, like that was a problem. So I wanted to be in a position in my life where if I had an idea, I could do it. I could fully do it myself. I could, you know, launch it. And I wanted to be able to work with people I wanted to work with, pick my team, gather the people I wanted around me, colleagues, team, all the things. So yeah, that's what I have today. I have a full, you know, fully free, flexible lifestyle where I can creatively express. I can wake up in the morning. You have this too, Belinda. I mean, it's the best, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to wake up in the morning and say, I want to launch a podcast, or I want to write my book, or I'm going to do a free challenge, or I'm going to do this webinar, this masterclass. Like, you get to decide. And that's 100% what my life is today. So that's a dramatic shift from what I was living before. It isn't just about working from home, because most people have that at this point now, right? People don't wake up in the morning, or they're not on their deathbed and say, wow, I wish I would have worked more from home. That isn't the deepest desire, and that isn't a, quote, value. There's something bigger, there's something greater that working from home represents. And that's what I think we need to tap into. What are the values, needs, and desires we have that working from home can provide us? But it's not just working from home. It's also you can work from all over the world if you have an internet business. And it's also you need to think about your own ability to creatively express and feel that deep sense of fulfillment and know that you're living your calling. If you're working from home and you're not living your calling, it doesn't do any good. Right. It doesn't feel free, right? Or you're restricted
by a job. No, it's
a
drudgery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you still are having to get up. You still have things that, you know, you need to complete or whatever. Like you still have deadlines. You still have to sit on meetings that I just observe. This is an observance, but you still have to sit on meetings that go endlessly all day long sometimes that you aren't even really a contributor to. You know what I mean? Right. And somehow somebody decided that it was a good idea for you to sit for 5 hours on this meeting. Right. versus contributing your thoughts or, you know, but it's also funny about perspective because I got up yesterday and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm doing a challenge in this one Facebook group that we have, and I'm going to do this 21-day challenge. And I didn't plan it out, but that instead of making it 30 days, I'll do it 21, and I won't start it until day 7 of April. So I got 2 days to figure it out. And
I love it.
And so I did that. And then, of course, now it's like, logistics and all the stuff and my staff that is like, why didn't you tell us this? And part of me is like, because I didn't really want to, because I knew you would all talk me out of why this is too hard to do. So it still is that freedom to do what you want to do. So even sometimes running your own business, you get bogged down with logistics. And I just, gosh, really want to encourage people to, when you have a feeling about something and it feels right, just do it.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. Just pull the trigger and implement.
Yeah. So what have you identified as a couple of your superpowers, like your greatest skill sets that have really helped you to be successful?
My personal superpower that I'm known for, and I'm glad I'm known for it, is helping women to know exactly what they're here to do. That is, I call it their soul fuel, their calling, their mission, if you will, assignment. But not in a heavy way, just like something that's super fueling, which is why the word fuel is in there. Mm-hmm. So the opposite of being drained. So I have the ability to help women. It's through a process of asking questions, but it's also the formula I created inside Soulfuel Discovery. There's various modules that walk people through a process. So it's a combination of both my coaching and the process that ultimately results in a woman knowing what she's meant to do and then also how to make money doing it. So because I have the marketing background really strong, I'm able to take that, her calling, and say, okay, how do you package this? How do you position this? How do you monetize this? Who are your clients? How can you make money doing this? How can you crush the salary you had before and go way past that in your business doing the thing you're meant to do? And so I'm able to create business concepts for people that take off when they apply the strategies I teach, right? You can't just wait for it to fall on your lap, but you have to learn the marketing strategies and the messaging and the enrollment and the sales and all that stuff. But once they learn that and apply it to their calling, now they have a beautiful, thriving business, like six figures, multiple six figures, half a million, whatever you want to go to. My clients have gone that far with it all. So I think that's a kind of superpower where I'm able to figure that out for people. You know?
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's co-creative, like they're doing it, the process and taking the steps, but then me coming in and providing my insight and intuition as well as the business and marketing skill aspect to it is pretty different. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, so thank you. Let's talk about, we'll do two quick ones back to back, most outstanding accomplishments. What's something that you're super proud of?
I am very, very proud, and I'll go to my grave being proud about the fact that I was on my own at 16, literally had no place to live or food, or I had to figure it out. And I did. And wow. I not only did that, but I also graduated from college on the dean's list and ended up going on and winning a lot of awards in the Silicon Valley and senior marketing management positions. And I just feel really, really good about that because there was a path that I could have taken that mm-hmm. was not as nearly as good and thriving as that. So I feel very, very happy about that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Let's talk about the challenge, and then I wanna go back to that. What's one of the greatest challenges you've had, and how did you work through it?
Personally or professionally?
Let's talk about professionally first.
Yeah. So I would say definitely. So when I quit for good corporate in 2013, I was totally committed, all out, like not going to look back. I quit without having a single client or a single, you know, dollar coming in through my business. Mm-hmm. So I was one of those people. I'm pretty high tolerance to risk. So I was like all in, right? And I just did all the things. I hired a coach. I did all about a year and a half into that. I was not making enough money. I was burning through my savings, and I was looking at possibly having to go back to corporate. Mm-hmm. And I went out as the corporate abolitionist. I'm like, I'm going to free all the corporate hostages, like the people who want to be freed from corporate. That's how I went out. So here I was, oh my gosh, I may have to go back. So what does that look like? Like, that's incredibly embarrassing. So I really hit a bottom in my business. I obviously did not go back, but I needed to figure out what it was that was preventing me from popping, as we call it, like really popping to the point mm-hmm. where there's stability and sustainability in your business. And it was coming, it was an internal issue that's kind of complicated to get into right now, but I learned how to use like law of attraction principles, flow dreaming, which is created by Summer McStravick, and other techniques like that to begin to shift from within myself, my energy, and what I would call my emotional landscape that was directing and guiding everything I was doing day to day that was creating that problem to begin with. So I had breakthroughs there energetically that forever changed my business. And I started having five-figure months, and I've always had that for the last 7 years, ever since.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, and I'm sure that this is probably part of this, but one of the greatest challenges. So you've said this, being on your own at 16. How does one navigate through that? I mean, were you able to find some good mentors that were able to help you through that time? Did, like, how did you suddenly, you're in this position and now you got to figure it out. And that was not any easy road. I have, you know, heard lots of different teen story that have been in sort of similar situations. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's two different paths. You either get mixed in with mm-hmm. people that are, you know, aren't going to necessarily steer you in the right direction. You get involved in a lot of either, you know, mm-hmm. drugs, crime, yeah. whatever. Or you go this incredible other path of this resilience that's so deep mm-hmm. rooted inside of you and go on to just be, go to college, like you said. So what helped you navigate through that?
Oh my goodness. I had mentors before that, various people in my life before that who had influenced me. And at the time that it happened, I think, you know, I did have a choice. It was a conscious choice. I remember because there were people, I wasn't hanging out in the best crowd.
Okay.
I wasn't. But I wasn't, also, I wasn't getting into trouble. So I was hanging out with a crowd that I felt comfortable in, you know, that wasn't, like I said, it wasn't the best crowd, but I wasn't participating in anything that was hurting me.
Okay.
So that was good. I was able to somehow just like be with them, but not participate very much. So I was considered kind of the goody two shoes of that group in a way. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness for that. I don't have addictive personality. So if you, you know, for those who do, and I think it's just like a luck of the draw, honestly, like I don't have that personality, thank goodness. Otherwise I could have gotten caught up in all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but I do remember consciously thinking, okay, Wendy, you've got a clean slate. You don't have any parents right now to tell you what you can and can't do. And I was devastated at this time in my life. I mean, I basically stopped eating for a couple years almost completely. Like it was not good. And I fully recovered from that eating situation after a couple of years. And that was just a regain control of my life. I felt like everything was out of control and that was the only thing I could control. And it wasn't that I stopped eating completely. I just was not eating enough. And mm-hmm. so it was a devastating time. But at the same time, mentally, I took hold of the idea that I had a clean slate. No one was telling me what I could and couldn't do anymore. So I was now the leader in charge of my life. So I used to write in journals. I still do, but I used to do it daily, every single day, starting at age 7. I was writing in journals every day religiously. And so in my journal, I was writing my life and scripting it out, the future. And I just started writing what I wanted to see in my life, what I wanted to have, what I wanted to experience. And I entered a world of imagination of things that didn't exist yet. You know, I was basically using law of attraction at the time. I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful. I allowed myself to enter that place of imagination and just create a future I had never seen, but I believed in. And I applied myself to creating that. And it was not an easy road. It was very up and down. In college, you know, a year in, I was just doing terrible in college. And I took a break, went into therapy, got some healing, then went back to college. So I did what I needed to do in order to reach that vision. And I did. So I think that mindset, you know, of just rather than seeing it as a horrible tragedy, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me? Instead, I just chose to take the wheel of my life and drive it.
Wow. That had to not be easy.
Mm-mm. 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 And those things create a lot of resilience and tenacity and,
yep.
You know, I mean, I know it sounds, I mean, I'm sure you've heard other people say this before we've gone through things. I am thankful for a lot of that. Unfortunately, I would wish that that wouldn't be necessary to create the character that I have today, but I am thankful for the qualities that I developed through that hardship. I really am, because I have a confidence and a security from within that I see that others don't have who've had it easier.
Well, don't you think that it is, you know, for me, I haven't ever had anything like that. I've had some things that have been, you know, hard to go through, a divorce and, you know, different things, but I'm talking on another level. But I am able to, when I hear stories like that, I put myself in that and I'm able to identify with that individual or have those feelings of what that might have been like. Like for me, I stop and I will say, look, if that person can get through that, you can get through this. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Like, come right. on, girl. What's your deal? And I'm able to draw from those stories. Like, right. I might not have experienced them, but that is how I've gotten through some really difficult times. It's just self-talk. Like, look, you know this person and she went through this. And what are you even talking about right now? Mm-hmm. Like, there's not even any comparison here. And I don't know. That gets me through. I just am able to identify with those situations. So I'm always
I'm always in awe of people that have really come out of something that difficult and made their lives into something incredible. It's not an easy thing.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you. Aw, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, and now you're helping others to do it. You know, that's even taking that. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to survive, but it's another to, which is so commendable for people that survive horrific situations in their life. But you're right, that is carried with you. And then to go on and say, I'm going to help other people sort of break free of some of these things, that's taking it to a whole new level of being able to reshare those experiences and not being afraid of that. Some people carry you know, experiences like that around with them is not necessarily a good badge of honor, if you will.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I think Soul Fuel is so important, because it, once you know it and you tap into it and you know what you're here to do, which always involves making a difference for other people, then it gives you that sense of fulfillment and purpose of what has occurred in your life. And not everyone has to have, you know, big tragedies, but also even the joyful, happy, wonderful experiences of life. We have that to offer others too. So all of it can be used to help others and make an impact in the world. And that's really important to give that meaning and fulfillment to our lives.
Absolutely. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I love the name of your podcast, and I love that the happy place verbiage. It's just so, it makes me smile every time I think about it. And it's so you, Belinda. You really are, you're just such a light, bright, you know, happy person. You choose that. I know you choose that every day.
It is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It is a choice every day to be happy. We had our 300th episode a few weeks ago, and I woke up that day feeling like I was on top of the world. Like, I was so excited about that episode, and I was feeling like I had so much to do, and it was going to be a great day. And I got up, and I couldn't even sleep, and I started going at it hardcore. And then we had ran this like little contest or whatever, and then I went to bed, and I got up. And in 24 hours, it hadn't had as many downloads as what I had in my brain as it should have had. And so then I woke up the next day, and this is just so crazy, but this, I'm giving this example and it can sound crazy to people. So then I woke up the next day and I was like, my business really isn't doing that good. I don't even know why I think it is. And I was dragging my butt all day at work. I didn't even want to be there. Mm. I was just feeling really down. And then I had to stop myself. And I'm like, well, I didn't necessarily stop myself. My husband said, Belinda, your business is the same as it was yesterday.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, when you couldn't sleep at 6 a.m. and you said your business was on fire, it still is today, too.
24 hours prior. Yeah.
I was like, okay. So, but it is a matter of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And some people aren't able, they let that perspective drive them down. Like, they just don't have the right perspective of what they're actually doing or what it means or anything. And I let myself fall into that trap that day.
Mm-hmm. Like, that you pulled yourself easily. Out. You pulled yourself out quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Because I've been doing it so long that I've got, and teaching others, that you've got enough common sense. But for people that are maybe going through it for the first time, they don't recognize it that fast.
Yeah. And I think the more you practice what you just described, you get better at it. And it gets you switch gears faster. And I think it all starts with appreciation and gratitude, right? So it's looking at every little thing, because all of us get stuck in a funk sometimes. And the fastest way out is appreciation and gratitude. And just looking at every little win, every little, you know, bit of progress you make, just showing up to your business every day and taking actions can be a celebration. Just the fact that you're showing up and you're giving it a go, you know? So it's just looking at every little thing to get you to build the momentum of positivity that will lead you to your happy place. Because you've got to build the momentum. That's all it is. And it probably, with your husband reminding you that, you were probably able to dial back to the 24 hours prior and go, oh, that's right. I did feel that way. And then you can build on that you can allow that to build momentum again, right? You just lost momentum. So then you built your momentum up again, and then you were back on track. So we can do that at any moment of every day. There can be one day, you know, you can have a great morning and a terrible afternoon. I mean, things can change that quickly. But it usually has to do with just how we're choosing to perceive something, or the story we're telling us ourselves about something, the meaning we're giving something that we're choosing that is taking us down.
Absolutely. I've been using that phrase a lot lately, is the story we tell ourselves. You know, is the story true?
Right.
What does it have validity? And it's just so true. So I appreciate
that
you saying
talking
that.
About that. That's so great. It's huge. Oh,
it is huge, because we tell ourselves stories every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And then it's whether you choose to believe the story, you know, or sit down and say, where's the truth in this story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where does it lie?
Right.
And most of the time, there is no validity to it.
Right.
Or there's no proof. Like, what's the proof that this is really the case? And you can't find any. Like, so you know that when that happens, you're like, okay, so there's no proof that this story's real. So I'm the one having the conversation with myself.
Yeah, literally. We create. I was on a call with a private client this morning, and she said her business was crumbling. Her business was crumbling. And just yesterday, I was on a call with her, and it was amazing, right? She was feeling great. So I'm like, okay, so what? Let's break this down. What does that mean, that it's crumbling? So we have to cross-examine or question our stories, because they are literally creating our reality. And she ended up leaving the session laughing and happy, because we were able to help her reframe that story. There's nothing further than from the truth that her business is crumbling. There was zero evidence, right? But she was creating the problem, a problem that doesn't even exist. And we do this. We do this. So the key is just to snap out of it faster and faster and faster and faster. And I think the fastest way out of a funk or that kind of negative cycle is to literally find the smallest thing you can appreciate. I appreciate this glass of water I'm drinking. I appreciate the trees outside my window. I appreciate my cat or my dog, my husband, my wife, like just starting there and allow that momentum to build to pull you out.
You know, it's funny because I'm going to be super honest, and I know this is totally like against your wheelhouse for sure, I'm being honest. I just thought, gratitude journals, blah, blah, blah. So I have done it. Like, I've had one, and then I fall off the wagon, and then I would, you know, get one for Christmas. Like, that's something that a lot of people love to give you for Christmas. And so I would get one for Christmas and go, all right, I'll do this for a hot minute, and fall off the wagon again. And it wasn't until COVID that I literally lost my entire speaking business overnight, about 5 days. And so then it was like, how am I going to support this staff of 6 people? And it was a gratitude journal that saved me. So now I'm like this huge advocate of.
That's hilarious.
I know it is hilarious, but I just want to tell people, like,
that's so funny.
What can I do? And I had all these prototypes for this gratitude journal that we were releasing with the planner. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'll just grab one of these. And I just started using it every day. And it was the little things every day about what is right about my business today, what is good about my life today. And so if I could just stay focused on that, it stopped me from going down the rabbit hole of, well, what's going to happen? What are we going to do?
Right.
Like, starting to think about what do I have control over? What is right in my life versus what are the things I can't control?
Yep.
I can't waste energy on what I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
I can only put energy into what I can control.
Right. And I love gratitude journals, but I actually wasn't referring to those, although I love them and I have one on my nightstand. But I was also, you can do this mentally, you know, the appreciation, the gratitude throughout your day, walking through your house. I appreciate that I have that book. That book is great. I'm glad I have it. Or that painting or that picture, you know what I mean? And it creates this environment of appreciation. But I love your story about the journal. That's hilarious. Because now you have one as part of your products, right?
Yes.
I love that. That's hilarious.
in last year's, it was just kind of simple because I thought people just need something simple. Like they just need space to write three things I'm grateful for today. And then I learned after I took people through this 90 days of gratitude group, this is so out of my wheelhouse, so I'm telling you. And so then I decided, no, this gratitude journal needs more. People need some prompts to make them think about things. And so now it's like it's quadrupled in pages this year. Oh, it's going to be a really awesome gratitude journal.
you're gonna end up being known as like the gratitude queen or something like that after all this.
Won't that be funny? Oh my gosh.
I could see it.
Oh, so what advice would you give to others wanting to go down this entrepreneurial journey?
Mm-hmm. Numero uno. Discover what your soul fuel is. Know what your soul fuel is, because here's what I see. I see a lot of entrepreneurs just starting businesses to start a business. They just don't want to be in their job, so they start something kind of random. They're like, oh, this sounds good. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that because it gets you your wheels into motion. It gets you learning things and practicing things that you're probably going to need in any business, like sales and marketing skills. But often I see that it's off track. It's not the right business for that person to really thrive. So they'll be failing, perhaps, quote unquote, failing. Failure's a beautiful thing. We need it to succeed. So let's put that in quotes. But not doing so well, maybe with sales and not sustaining at the level they want to sustain. And they think there's something wrong with them. When what I've discovered is they actually just need to pivot into sometimes a slightly different direction, sometimes a drastically different direction based on what their soul fuel is and then based on what their passions, their talents, and their skills are that they can monetize in a business, and knowing which passions, talents, and skills to monetize and then having a business concept that's, you know, perfectly aligned to who you are, as opposed to trying to squish a round peg into a square hole or a round, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Square peg into a round hole. And feeling the pain of that and thinking you're not meant for this and then quitting and going back to a job or never quitting your job because you just don't think you're meant for it. You're meant to be in business for yourself when it's the business concept or what you're doing that is just a bit off and it needs to be tweaked. So that's pretty huge.
That is huge.
Yeah.
That is very huge. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners can benefit from?
Why, thank you for asking. I've got some fun things coming up. I mean, I've mentioned Soul Fuel a million times here in this podcast. I am doing the free Soul Fuel Spark Challenge coming up starting in May. I've done this many times before. It's super popular and helps you just to begin to tap into your soul fuel and get that spark going so that you can then, it can turn into an inferno of beautiful things. So it starts with a spark. And then I've got Soul Fuel Discovery coming up in May also, which is a 12-ish, maybe 13 modules this time, course to discover your soul fuel and how you can take that and create a business that is perfectly aligned to who you are, including your niche, ideal client, and specialty, and what that really needs to be, whether it's a pivot in a business or a brand new business.
Great. So how can our listeners do this free Soul Fuel Spark Challenge?
To find out about that, I think the best thing to do is to grab my free Soul Fuel Starter Bundle, and then you'll be added to my community and you'll receive the emails for the challenge, to join the challenge.
Okay.
So your audience, Belinda, are you okay with me sharing that?
I would like, that was how I was going to close. So yes, please share with how people can find you or find your program.
Okay, so you can go to grab the Soulfuel Starter Bundle, which is an audio program plus two PDF downloads to help you begin to tap into your Soulfuel or get some clarity around that. You go to soulfuelstarter.com, all one word, soulfuelstarter.com. You can also find it at wendycollier.com/soulfuelstarter. So my official website is wendycollier.com. That's the best way to get looped in, and then you'll find out about the Spark Challenge when it comes out in just a few weeks and the Discovery course.
Very good. Well, Wendy, gosh, thanks so much for sharing your insights and your wisdom with our listeners today. I certainly did appreciate it, and I know that they're going to as well. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, Belinda. I just love talking with you and learning from you. And you just, I love your energy. So thank you for having me on your podcast and sharing me with your audience. And I'm really excited to connect more in the future.
Yes, I am as well. It's nice. This podcast really has fed my soul. Like, it's introduced me to so many really awesome, incredible people. And I leave my podcast day, which is Tuesday, just feeling so, I don't know, energized by listening to other people's stories. And so I just think it's important for us to all find that special way to fuel ourselves.
Yes, yes. And I can tell this is a sweet spot for you. It's a good place for you, podcasting.
It is. And I really fought that too at the beginning. I did not want to do it. It was my husband that just said, "You need a podcast." I'd be like, "Oh, I don't want to have a podcast."
Kicking and screaming.
I was kicking and screaming, but I agreed to do it. And now we just had our 300th episode. Oh, so it's, and then now it fuels me. So it's just so funny. Sometimes we have to just, you know, we do sometimes have to push through. Others can see things in us that sometimes we don't actually, we can't see the forest for the trees because we're so buried in logistics or details or administration or whatever it is, or the way you've always done it, that you can't see outside of that box. And so I think it's important to discover new things about yourself, and no matter what part of your journey you're in.
Right. And do things that challenge you and that you are scared to do. I didn't want to do my podcast either. And I was basically, it was similar. It was with someone else, a mentor who came to me and said, "I really want you to start your podcast on my network." And oh my gosh, I was terrified and I didn't know how to do it. I wasn't even thinking about doing it, but it's one of the biggest blessings of my life and my business. So yeah, we just have to take those chances.
Yes, we do. Well, thanks again, Wendy, and to all of our listeners. Please leave us a review if you enjoyed this today. We appreciate that so much. And refer this to a friend. If you enjoy this podcast, let somebody else know about it. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a single great episode. We appreciate all of you so very, very much. And we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.